behind the wheel, under the hood, and beyond with Car Stuff from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hi, everybody. Welcome to the podcast. I'm Scott Benjamin.
And I'm Ben Boland.
Ben, today we've got a topic that is another top 10 list. We kind of like follow through some of these top 10s, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And this one comes from Jalopnik, and it's a recent article, so the numbers here are fairly new.
Right, yeah, within the past few years.
Yeah, that's right. And it follows along with the, I guess, the 10 biggest car shows in the world. And we're not talking about, like, auto shows, not like the Frankfurt Motor Show or anything.
Right.
These are like the gatherings of people, enthusiasts, collectors, classic cars.
Places where you can bring your own car.
Exactly right. And it's all over the world, not just here in the United States. This is an international list. And where do you want to start? You want to start with number 10 and count down to number 1?
That sounds great. Yeah. So number 10 actually comes to us from France, Paris, a place called Retromobile, or an event.
Retromobile. Yeah, it's an event. It's, how many days? 5 days, I think.
Yep.
So it's a 5 day event, kind of lengthy, but it's big. It's really big. And, and just to give you an idea, this is number 10 on our list, right?
Right, yeah.
This is crazy. There's something like 80,000 visitors that attend this thing in Paris every year. That was the 2013 number. So I know it's only gone up from there because these are getting bigger as time goes on.
Right, yeah. More than 500 vehicles, 33,000 square meters of floor space, and they're famous for something in particular, right?
Famous for what?
Their auctions.
Oh, the auctions, that's right. Yeah, because there are four auctions that happen during these 5 days. Now, that's big because we're talking about shows that are big, like you know, the size of the Barrett Jackson shows.
Mm-hmm.
And so these are major, major events, and you know, most of these big shows, you know, the large ones, usually have one show that's attached to them, or maybe two. I'm sorry, one auction that's attached to them.
Right, maybe two.
Maybe at the most, but not four. I mean, that's something significant. And I read that they've increased their show space up to something like 41,000 square feet. So again, this is another one that's growing. Expect more out of the Retromobile show, you know, as time goes on.
Right. Yeah, and we also know that they typically have events inside the show. So specializing in things like the anniversary of the Peugeot or the anniversary of the Porsche.
So that makes sense. All right. So they highlight a brand as they go as well. A lot of shows will do that. Now let's move on to number 9.
Mm-hmm.
And number 9, we're going to go through this kind of quick. How about
yeah.
this? All right. So number 9 is the AVD Old Timers Grand Prix. Now AVD stands for Automobile Club von Deutschland.
Great pronunciation.
Thank you very much. And this is a, how long is this? 3 days.
Yeah.
3 day event. 60,000 in attendance. It's pretty big, reasonable size, right?
Yeah.
500 vintage race cars in attendance. And that's important. Race cars. 500 race cars in one place at one time. That's pretty awesome.
Vintage race cars.
And there's a lot of online video of this event. Mm-hmm. It happens at the Nürburgring every year. And you can imagine just how cool this is to watch this. I mean, to see, you know, a couple of dozen vintage race cars in one place at one time is a big deal.
Right.
500 plus?
Yeah, I can't even imagine. And it is worth your time to take a look at the video or even just the images of this stuff, because we can say 500 all the live long day, but it doesn't really hit you until you visually encounter it.
Yeah, there are a few like that on this list. There's a few that when I looked at images of you know, some of these events, actually all these events, and when you see the, you know, the aerial view of the fields that these things happen in, the, you know, the expanse of cars in some of these things, you don't really get a picture of it until you see it from above like that. Because, you know, when you're walking around, you see a few here and there, and you know it takes you all day to get through it. But when you see it from above and you realize that it covers acres and acres and acres, it looks like a crowded parking lot, but then you realize those are all vintage vehicles. That's really remarkable.
Right. And also, bonus, you can go back and check out our podcast on the Nürburgring, which I just have to mention because I think that's a pretty cool one. Like, we did all right in the podcast, but also the Nürburgring itself is an amazing thing.
It seems like we're always talking about it. You know, manufacturers are always going there to test vehicles for, you know, the fastest lap times, of course. We talk about that often. Also, we've talked about the history of the course itself. So some of that stuff was just so fascinating that you have to listen to it. The history of that track is really cool.
Speaking of vintage, let's move to number 8 on our list, Scott, the Pittsburgh Vintage Grand Prix.
Ah, another Grand Prix, but there's more to it than just that, right? This is, you know, the other one is primarily all about the race, and I'm sure there's other events that go along with it, but this is more like a huge festival, the way that I'm reading it.
Yeah, it's because there's an international car show. It's a combined show. This happens over a weekend. It's open to anyone. Anything goes, really. All makes, all years, all countries. And Scott, this thing covers, they take over an entire golf course, right?
Yeah, that's right. And there's also a racetrack, you know, mm-hmm. race course that they set up for this thing. It's a 2.3-mile race course. Yeah, the golf course, you know how large golf courses are.
Right.
This is in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania. So the setting is picturesque, I guess, because, you know, a golf course in Pennsylvania, you can imagine that it's beautiful, it's lush, it's green, it's all the, everything that you would expect, right?
Mm-hmm.
But it, this is amazing, Ben. It quadruples the amount of vehicles that were in the last one on our list.
Right.
There are 2,000 show cars on display here. Not race cars entirely. Some of those are race cars, of course.
Sure.
But 2,000 show cars on display during this event. And it's a 10-day, 9-event festival.
Oh, yes. I didn't mean to imply that the International Car Show itself is a weekend show. The Vintage Grand Prix is the 10-day thing.
Yeah, 10 days. And, you know, there's a reader here from the, you know, this list in Jalopnik mm-hmm. again that said, you know, I've been to this thing and, it takes you several hours just to view each manufacturer's collection of vehicles. He said it's that big. I mean, you don't get an idea of how big it is until you're there touring the grounds, you know, and you realize I've only seen half of this place so far.
Didn't he also say that you have to take shuttle buses?
Yeah. You have to take shuttle buses to get from one exhibit to the other because it's just, you know, it's a matter of miles between things. So this is a huge, huge event, and they're only getting bigger as we go through here.
Right, yeah, so get in on the ground floor because who knows how much bigger it's going to be in 2015, right?
That's right. Now let's move on to number 7.
Ah, yes, number 7, a returning topic for you and I, Scott, the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
Yeah, a 3-day event, which as we've talked about it, it's held on the grounds of Lord March,
mm-hmm.
right, in, where is it, Goodwood? Where is that, actually?
Oh, West Sussex, England.
That's right, Ben. Now, that's the place where there's also a Rolls-Royce factory on the grounds of this place. It's
right.
An enormous complex, right?
Yeah.
A complex, I don't know, compound, castle, what do we call it?
Estate.
Estate. That's a good way to say it. Estate. It has its own race course, as a matter of fact,
mm-hmm.
and that's where they run the Goodwood Revival.
Mm-hmm.
But the entire Festival of Speed, I guess, that happens in, I guess it's late June, early July of each year, and this happens, it's about 1993, I think.
Right, yeah, and the numbers keep going up.
Yeah, it draws 150,000 people each day.
And that's only because they capped it.
Yeah, they capped it because, you know, the crowds were getting out of hand because it went up near 160 at one point, and they realized that was way too many. Now, the number of cars that run in this thing, I'm going to tell you, I don't know. I can't tell you how many cars are in this because it's like one after the other, after the other, after
right,
the other.
Right.
And there's manufacturer exhibits. And I don't know if there's ever been an actual count there. I'm sure there has been. I just can't find a concrete number that says in 2014 there were X number of cars at mm-hmm. the Goodwood Festival of Speed.
And there are motorcycles as well. I know what you mean, man, because I couldn't find a solid number either.
Yeah, no, it's a hill climb.
Mm-hmm.
It's because that's the thing. The hill climb you see one at a time, right?
Right.
You go to the the concourse type event. There's mm-hmm. cars on display there. You can get a count on those easy, right? No
yeah.
problem. There's also a, I think there's a bit of, a kind of a rally that happens with it as well.
Yes, there
right?
is.
Like an off-road rally. There's also the British International Motor Show that runs as part of this.
Mm-hmm.
Remember they decided they were going to hold it right on the grounds because they had lost, the facility, I think, for the one that they were going to use.
Yeah, you're correct.
So man, there's a lot about the Goodwood Festival Speed that's exciting, entertaining for enthusiasts. And we've had listeners that said they've attended.
Right, yeah, and didn't we did a podcast on this.
We did a full podcast on the Festival of Speed, and I think we included the revival stuff in there as well.
We did. I remember specifically the guy who started it is just a fascinating person
mm-hmm.
because this is his estate, folks. It's I know this is not completely accurate, Scott, but the entire time that we were doing that podcast, and even now just talking about this festival, which is amazing, I can't shake the feeling that it's kind of like going over to somebody's house.
It kind of is, yeah. It really is. I know it's strange to think of it that way because it's such an enormous event, but the
right.
grounds are so big.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to house a Rolls-Royce factory on your own property
right,
and
yeah.
a race course and a helipad and, you know, all these other things. It's amazing. Mm-hmm. I think there's even a polo, what do you call it, a polo arena,
oh,
I guess.
Yeah.
There's all kinds of stuff there. So huge, huge event. And, you know, the thing is he wanted to bring – I think the idea was that he wanted to bring the gentleman's sport of motor racing mm-hmm. back to, this part of England. Yeah. And he did that. He did that on his own property, which is really cool, with the rebirth of the circuit.
Yeah, I'm wondering. I was looking in my backyard recently, and I was thinking, what kind of event could I hold here?
Maybe a go-kart race.
Yeah, maybe Matchbox cars.
Okay, it's smaller than I thought.
I live in the city, so.
I understand, no problem.
All right, so number six, this is another returning champion for us, and this is something that you longtime listeners will have probably already heard us talk about at length.
Probably. This is Pebble Beach Car Week. Now, that's right, I said it, week. It's not just the Pebble Beach show that happens on, you know, that Sunday or that weekend.
Right.
The Concours event that everybody's familiar with. And, you know, there's a lot more that goes on just besides the Concours event that happens over those, maybe 2 or 3 days on the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
There's also vintage racing that happens at Laguna.
Uh-huh.
There's also spin-off events, like I think there's a Crash to Concours, which I'm not sure about what that includes, but I do know what the Concours de Lemons is. And that's a spinoff that is really funny to look at. But I'll tell you, I was looking at photos from that thing, and it's so cool. These are like kind of one-off cars, and it reminded me a lot of what I saw when I went to that microcar museum.
Oh, yeah, right before it shut its doors.
Exactly right, the last day that it was open. And so many unusual cars show up to the Concours de Lemons. It's not what you would think. It's not just piles of junk that somebody's brought in for $500. These are actually pretty unique little vehicles, and it's worth a look if you've never heard of Concours de Lemons. But anyways, the whole Pebble Beach Car Week thing, it's tough to nail down an attendance number. It's tough to nail down a number of vehicles shown because of all these different events held at different locations.
Right, yeah. We have seen estimates before that, at least for the Concours d'Elegance, around 15,000 spectators.
Not bad. Now, that's, again, I think they're just counting for the day of the show. Now,
exactly.
It's held on a golf course. It's right on the coast. It's very picturesque. It's very beautiful.
Yeah.
The cars are amazing. It's just, you know, they can nail down attendance for one day, one event, but to combine all of them, you know, that we'd have to do that work on our own. We'd have to dig up all of those stats from different places. And I'll be honest, I just didn't have time to look into every single one of them and count the number of vehicles, the number of people, and add them all together.
But we do have a podcast on this.
Exactly.
So you can
right.
check that out
and
too.
And the next one I do have some solid numbers for.
Oh, good. That is number five on our list, right, Scott?
That's right. The Syracuse Nationals, which is held in New York, of course.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a 3-day event. And I'll tell you, Ben, this is big. It's really big. Get this. In 2014, so this year, 8,022 cars were on display, and the attendance was something like 88,575 people.
Making it the self-proclaimed largest car show in the Northeast. It's been going on for 15 years now.
It's a long, long time. That's right. And again, I said it's a 3-day event. The next event that's going to happen in the 2015 calendar year will be in July. Mm-hmm. I think it's mid-July, like the 17th through the 19th.
Yeah.
And there's more to it, of course, than just a car show, as is the case with most of these. There's also parties that happen. There's an autocross event. There's build-off competitions, swap meets, a car corral, picnics. I think there's fashion shows. There's all kinds of stuff that goes along with this. You know, it's like almost like a festival. All these are like a festival. Really.
Yeah, exactly. And there are hot rods, muscle cars, antique trucks. This is kind of a big party.
A huge party. I mean, to proclaim that you're the largest car show in the Northeast, that's pretty bold statement, but it's true. I mean, 8,000 cars on display, Ben, that's enormous. I mean, think about where we started here. Number 10, 500 cars on display. We're already up to 8,000 plus cars on display, and we're only at number 5 on the list.
Ah, so let's up the stakes. And this might be my favorite on the list, Scott.
You know, this may be my favorite as well. Maybe.
So, yeah, maybe. And for the style, this is back to the 50s. Number 4 on our list, produced by the Minnesota Street Rod Association. It's just beautiful cars, cherry 1950s cars.
Yeah, they're all pre-1965 era vehicles. Now, how many were in attendance, Ben, in 2014? Do you know the number?
Let's see. I've got 14,000.
Yeah, 14,000 cars is what they're claiming. Now, I want to say there's a little bit of a dispute here. And it's not much. It's a little bit. Because remember the previous one, number 5, we said 8,000 plus cars? This goes significantly up even so.
Mm-hmm.
Now, they say in the information here, 14,000, but I think I found the actual number was still huge. 11,816 cars on display in 2014.
Right. That's still pretty much unbelievable.
That's incredible. And I saw that the 14,000 number that you quoted just a minute ago in many, many places. So I think it's kind of a round number that they went to. I don't know why they said that. Maybe that was who signed up and then, oh geez, it's hard to believe. Maybe
they went just off registration.
Maybe 2,500 people didn't show up.
Yeah, I don't know. Or maybe that was an estimation that came before, you know, all the registrations were
in. I don't know. This is a big, big event though, because this thing has been around, get this, 41 years. 41 years this has been happening. So it's been growing and growing and growing. So what I found funny about this, Ben, is it's called Back to the 50s.
Yeah.
It's been around for 41 years. You realize that when they started in 1973, they're calling it Back to the 50s. That wasn't that long ago. They'd be like us having a show now called like Back to the 90s.
Yeah, which is, we're probably not far away from that. Not you and I, but someone.
Yeah, we could start, you know what we could do? We could start a show right now called Back to the 90s. Featuring cars that are, you know, pre-1999. And by the time we get to, 2060,
right,
it's going to be an event that has 11,000 vehicles in it.
That's not a bad idea. It sounds like we could also probably get some free cars.
I'll be honest with you. I don't think a lot of the cars from the 1990s are going to make it to 2060.
Oh, are we talking, what, why are we talking American cars?
We're talking all cars.
All cars.
All cars.
I don't know if I'm as pessimistic, but there are some cars that, not to be conspiratorial, are sort of built to break.
That's true. Yes, right. Okay, so let's leave it at that. How about that?
Yeah, different right. show. Oh, sidebar though, the winner of this last year, their best car in show was this 1958 Pontiac Bonneville Custom Hardtop, I got this picture for
that
you.
That is beautiful. So if you get a chance to check out the winner of the man, that's amazing. There's a winner of the Back of the 50s show because it. I mean, to win out of 11,816 pre-1965 cars, that's a special car.
Well, this was also, this was picked by carsonline.com's,
fans.
So it's listener vote. I don't think it's an official judgment.
I see. All right. So let's move on to number three on our list. And that is the Corvette Fun Fest. The Corvette Fun Fest started in 1994. And man, does this one have a humble beginning, Ben. I don't know if you read this or not.
Yeah. A guy named Mike Yeager and his team at Mid-America Motor Works.
Yeah.
Back then it was Mid-America Designs. Mm-hmm. They had a Corvette hobby. So they put on a very informal show, just for, their customers. It was like customer appreciation time.
Yeah. You did read the same thing then. Cause I thought I was going to blow you away with that one, but this was a customer appreciation party. That started out in 1994 in Effingham, Illinois, it is now a four-day event that gathers something like 14,000 Corvettes at a time during that weekend.
Which is, in my opinion, even more impressive than some of the numbers we've seen earlier because they're all Corvettes.
All Corvettes. More than 14,000 Corvettes in one place at one time. Now, I've heard of some big Corvette shows before.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some major shows. There was, the Bloomington Gold Show. Was pretty big. I'm not sure if that attendance is close to that or not because it didn't even make our list here. But attendance, you know, as far as how many people attend this, that's kind of unknown. Because of course it's not just the owners and, you know, maybe their spouse that comes with them.
Right.
This is also Corvette fans, you know, people who just appreciate the Corvette brand and want to come and see 14,000 in one place at one time.
Yes. And, they're projecting that it will grow even further, right?
Yeah.
So 2013 is the official 20th anniversary of or birthday of Fun Fest. Mm-hmm. And there are some other what's a good word? There are some other simultaneous big events that happened in that year. So the 2013 celebration they had was a milestone celebration. Funny story. Mike Yeager and his team did not name it Fun Fest.
I wouldn't think they did.
Other people started calling it that, and they just went with it.
Yeah, and I think I mentioned that it's 4 days, right? And it's not just the you know, one Corvette show that happens there. There's expert seminars that happen. Mm-hmm. There's also, you know, product displays. There's club meetings that happen, entertainment, lots of things for the family to do. You know, it's one of those that has just developed into this massive, massive thing. It's called a Corvette party by some.
Yeah.
You know, Fun Fest is right in the name, so Corvette party is fine. But a lot of people that own and drive Corvettes say that this is a kind of like a must-attend event if you own a Corvette. It's one of those things that you're really missing out if you don't do it.
Is this like the Corvette Mecca?
It kind of is. What's weird, I don't know if it, you know what? I can't say it's the Corvette Mecca because that might be You know, the Corvette factory.
Oh, good point.
Bowling Green, right?
Yeah.
So maybe that's the Corvette Mecca. I'm not sure.
Well, that's an idea for another show.
Corvette Nirvana.
Corvette Nirvana. We'll just, you sometimes reach it. Yeah. here's the Big Power Meat is number two.
Yeah. Now, this is funny. It's called the Power Big Meat. Now, it sounds funny, right? A little broken, right? A little broken English?
Yeah, it sounds a little bit like the English is not so premium. But there's a reason for that. There's a reason for the awkward name of the largest gathering of American cars in the world.
Yeah, called the Power Big Meat, and it's 3 days. It's held in Sweden. And what's strange about this, Ben, is that it's the largest gathering of all American vehicles in the world. There's 20,000 vehicles that attend this.
Mm-hmm.
And so imagine this, 20,000 all-American classic cars that attend this event, and it's only a three-day event. It happens in Sweden. It happens over the 4th of July, which I think is really cool.
I love it.
There's no coincidence there. That's on purpose, right? They're not celebrating the 4th of July there, of course, but they are celebrating American autos.
And it's a really good point you made that they are classic vehicles, Scott, because cars from the 50s and 60s make a prominent showing in Power Big Meat.
Oh, yeah.
So, all right, how many people go to this thing?
I don't know the full attendance number. Do you know the full attendance?
No, but I've got an estimate.
You got an estimate. Okay, great, because that's more than I've seen.
It's bananas. Are you ready?
I'm ready. 3 days.
Every year, between 55 to 75,000 people visit Big Power Meet.
Wow, not bad. Not bad.
I think that that's a heck of a variance there. You know, that's 20,000, give or take. But
probably really tough to estimate. I mean, when you're talking about even just a place to store 20,000 cars at one time or have them participate in these events that happen, you know, as part of this whole thing. And, you know, the photos that we see are a lot of tire smoking.
Right.
I'm sure there's burnout competitions. I'm sure that there's, you know, drag competitions. That's, of course, going to be a part of this whole thing.
They use the airfield, right?
They do. Yeah. So definitely, you know what? Now that I hear that they use the airfield, there's definitely going to be drag racing going on. Because what those are perfect for, right? Now, this has extremely modest beginnings, right?
Mm-hmm.
Started in 1978 with 400 visitors total, 400 people attended, just 80 cars. They grew from 80 cars to 20,000 cars. Now, I know that Sweden has an enormous appetite for these old classic muscle cars, these American iron cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, anything big, luxurious, the classic American vehicle. They love them there. And that's all of Europe, really. I mean, there's kind of a fascination with them, and they bring them over there. They import them. So I can totally see this event drawing huge, huge amount of people. But again, it's called something funny. I mean, the Power Big Meat, and you know what's really funny, Ben?
What's that?
Their website sounds a little dirty. you go to bigmeat.com to get information on the Power Big Meat. Now it's M-E-E-T,
right? Yes.
I still had a little chuckle when I read it.
I can see that.
All right, now
I see you explaining that to our IT guy.
Yeah, there's a little confusion going on. All right, so listen, there's one left here on our list, and this one I don't even know how to describe this, Ben. This goes. This is so over and above everything else on this list. It's amazing. It's a clear-cut winner.
Yeah, and it's a, let's see. What's the weirdest part? Oh, I know that it's 1 day.
It's 1 day. Now, this is a little bit misleading because I'm going to tell you about this. I've attended this one a long time ago, a long, long time ago. But this event is 1 day event, and I bet a lot of people are already guessing what this is. This is the Woodward Dream Cruise. And the Woodward Dream Cruise, which happens in southeast Michigan on Woodward Avenue, just north of Detroit. And it's, again, this is a one-day event. The attendance numbers for this are outlandish, and the participation in this is outlandish as well. It doubles the previous one, the number two item on this list.
Yeah. It's 1.5 million.
1.5 million spectators come to this event, and there are 40,000 classic cars that are on display during this 1 day event.
And this is also a very old event too.
It is. I mean, it's 20 years, right? Or 19, I guess. Next year will be its 20th anniversary. 19 years was this last iteration of it, I guess, which happened in August, right? It's always the third Saturday in August. This year, again, 19th annual event had humble beginnings comparatively. I mean, it's still pretty big, I guess, even back then. So think about 1995. Mm-hmm. The first year attendance was still 250,000 people on that first day.
Yeah, yeah. And they didn't expect that many.
No, no.
But
that's
also,
that's 10 times what they expected. They thought there were going to be 2,500 people, or I'm sorry, 25,000 people.
I'm interested because you said that it's a bit misleading to call it a one-day event.
It is, because this thing has stretched into more than just the one-day cruise, which is what it's supposed to be. It's like a big cruise, and we'll tell you about that in just a second. But it's more than just that. You know, people have started attending or bringing out their classic cars months ahead of time. And
this
is crazy. Now, you would think there's no way that this thing starts months ahead of time, but it really does. It's and it happens with so much frequency that people start bringing out their classics onto Woodward, you know, like 2-3 months ahead of time.
Yeah.
That people set up lawn chairs on the side of Woodward Avenue several months ahead, you know, a couple of months ahead of the show.
Uh-huh.
Just to watch like the Friday and Saturday night cruising that happens on Woodward Avenue. So you'll get these kind of like, it's almost like tailgating. People pull into these, businesses that are just off of Woodward, let down the tailgate and sit on the back of the vehicle and just watch the cruising. Or they'll actually bring out lawn chairs and set them up next to the road because there's so many classic and hot rods and unusual vehicles that show up on Woodward on Friday and Saturday nights. And it happens for, again, a couple months ahead of time. As the day approaches, as we get towards, August, it starts to intensify and it gets more and more and more. And pretty soon you'll start seeing people with lawn chairs on the side of Woodward, weeks ahead of time, but on weeknights, not just Friday and Saturday. Then it's like, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, all the way through.
So it's a slow build.
It's a way slow build, but it's consistent. And then as the show approaches, it gets really intense. I mean, the days before it now are far more packed than even the original event was.
That's true.
It's a massive thing.
And there are events in the surrounding towns.
Correct. Yeah. This thing goes through. And now this is something else. You may think, how the hell do, 1.5 million spectators and 40,000 classic cars make an appearance anywhere? How does that all happen? Well, it travels. It's Woodward Avenue. It goes through like 9 communities.
Mm-hmm.
Starts up in Pontiac, Michigan. Goes all the way down Woodward through, all the way through Ferndale, maybe like the Pleasant Ridge area, Huntington Woods.
Yeah.
I'm not sure how south it goes.
I've got a list here that includes all of these. Mm-hmm. So you said Pontiac to Ferndale, Pleasant Ridge, Royal Oak, Berkeley, Huntington Woods, Bloomfield Hills and Bloomfield Township.
That's right. Yeah. And, those aren't in order by, north-south. But that's the communities that this goes through. It's 16 miles of road. Now, try to imagine this, Ben. It's like gridlock almost the day of the event, on Sunday.
Oh, yeah.
So, it's really difficult to move even a mile at a time. It's that kind of backup.
Mm-hmm.
The right two lanes, the outermost lanes, I guess, or inner, I guess it'd be outermost lanes. Those are reserved for the cruisers, the classic cars, the unusual cars. There's two other lanes that, I guess what you call normal traffic can use, like minivans and people just trying to get down Woodward, which this would be the worst day to use Woodward. you can't even really cross Woodward on this day. It's amazing. Yeah. So imagine 16 miles of solid people packed. I mean, packed where, not just on the road, one or two people. I'm talking, two people deep. I'm talking like into the parking lots of all the businesses, which are also packed with classic cars.
Now, were you a kid when you went or were you a grown?
I was grown at this point. My first year was in 1995 when this thing started, and it was started to raise money for some, like a fundraiser for some soccer field in Ferndale, I think.
Mm-hmm.
So it had very humble beginnings, and it was really relatively uncrowded at that point. And you could still drive and you could still, use Woodward on the day of the cruise and expect your car to not overheat. And now, there's a lot of overheating. There's a lot of breakdowns and things like that. And that's part of it. I understand, but it's still a lot of fun. It's really, really cool.
Also, the name of the guy who started it, Nelson House.
Nelson House. Okay.
So credit him.
Part of that whole thing. Now, there's what's maybe most unusual about this thing, Ben, and it's so big, you would think that, they'd be charging a lot of money for, to participate in this and everything.
Sure.
There's zero fees to participate. There's zero fees to attend. Again, I mentioned that the only rules are really, no tire burning, that type of thing. It shows the speed, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
Not really a problem, I guess, when it's that crowded.
You can't really
get going that fast. But it's such a fun thing, and there's so much that builds up to it, and there's so much that surrounds it. And, the manufacturers, of course, being in Detroit, they set up their own huge parking lots. They they set aside major shopping mall parking lots and they set up an entire display there that, is sort of like, think about an auto show display, but think about it with like their hottest products, like as far as like, you know, the street products. You know, maybe if they have any kind of, you know, competition parts that they want to display, they set up trailers with that. And it's just so cool. It's such a fun thing to attend.
It brings in over $56 million to Metro Detroit.
$56 million for a single day event. It's incredible. We should go there and broadcast from there.
I would love to do that. And we'd have to get there pretty early.
It would blow your mind. It honestly would blow your mind. It's just enormous.
Now, you have
never seen anything like that.
You have some connections in Michigan, so be honest with me. Should we just ask them to put some chairs out?
They should put them out right now.
Yeah.
With a banner over them that says reserved for Scott and Ben.
Yeah.
I think it's probably a good idea. Maybe in, maybe as soon as the ice thaws, you know, like in, geez, when is that? In June now? Bears, but, I don't know. It's just such a cool thing. And it's become a worldwide event because people are coming from all over the world now to attend this thing. It's not just local. It's not just regional. It's a worldwide event where people come, and it's like kind of the place to be seen.
So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, 10 of the biggest car shows in the world, from what we understand, the 10 largest.
Yeah.
Now, this doesn't account for, of course, other vehicle shows that may be larger, such as military displays. But that's its own thing.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, this list has got, again, there's a few that I think maybe they didn't include because some of them are strictly auctions. So think
right.
about it that way.
Yeah.
Like, you know, it's set up as an auction. It kind of has evolved into a car show, you know, that people show up with their vehicles and there's also side events that go on. If the main event is an auction, I don't think it made this list. I think that was the parameters.
Yeah, maybe top 10 biggest auctions is a different podcast idea.
And an interesting podcast idea.
But before we head out today, Scott, we have a very special listener mail or series of tweets.
Oh, really? I'd like to hear them.
Okay. Folks, I don't know if you check out our Twitter, CarStuffHSW. We put some stuff on there that you don't usually see on our Facebook or on our website, CarStuffShow.com. However, Scott, we have to congratulate Twitter user Nicholas Lowe. Nicholas has been leaving some tweets with us or tweeting us as he listens through the entire Car Stuff back catalog.
Oh, boy.
The entire thing.
Which is getting big.
I think we've both been counting. We're at 590-something or 600. We might be past 600.
We may be at this point.
Wouldn't it be weird if this was our 600th episode? I don't know if it is. We'll have to check. So here we go. Nicholas Lowe just today tweeted us and said, finally finished all of the Car Stuff, How Stuff Works, past episodes. Oh, Scott, Nicholas knows. He said all 596 episodes. Love the show, Scott and Ben.
Not bad.
He tweeted again, said, it took me nearly 4 months.
Oh my gosh, that is dedication. Well, thank you, Nicholas. That's quite a testament, I guess, right?
Yeah, and there are a few of those that I owe you an apology for. Nick, sorry.
Yeah, some of the early ones, we always say this, but some of the early ones may be a little tough to listen to. Hey, some of the later ones are a little tough to listen to.
Ayo.
Right? Yeah, true, it's true, right? But wow, that's amazing. I always hear, well, we don't always, but sometimes we hear from people who say, I'm trying to get through the backlog of podcasts and I'm slowly chipping away at it, but it sounds like he really went at it. I mean, full force.
Yeah, and it can be tricky, you know, for those of you who watch shows like Battlestar Galactica or Doctor Who, it's sort of tricky sometimes to figure out continuity. And the same thing happens with Car Stuff because we did everything wrong a couple times. We changed our name. We were High Speed Stuff. We had a period where we were doing like one rerun and then one new one. So yeah.
And there was a short time when we were off the air completely.
Yeah.
So there's some reruns in there. It's really pretty amazing for somebody to go through and listen to all of those episodes. And I guess if you're skipping, you know, if you're listening to them one after the other, you may be able to quickly weed out some of those reruns because you can just say, I've heard that one already, go through. But there's not that many.
Yeah.
There's really only a few in there compared to the catalog that we've grown over the years.
That is a feat of will, Nicholas Lowe. So, thank you so much.
Yeah, thanks again, Nicholas. That's really cool. It's good to hear about that. So we love super fans.
Yeah, and guys, we need your help because Nicholas caught up with us, so we are looking, as always, for new episode ideas, new topics. We always love to hear from listeners. Some of our best episodes come from you and your suggestions. So let us know what you think. You can find us on Facebook and you can find us on Twitter. If you want to take a page from the distinguished Mr. Lowe, then you can find every single episode we've ever done on our website, carstuffshow.com. Check it out. And let's see. Oh, how they let us know. That's very simple. We have an email address. Hit us up at
carstuff@howstuffworks.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit howstuffworks.com. Let us know what you think. Send an email to podcast@howstuffworks.com.